Now I want you to turn with me for our message for this evening worship hour into the book of Acts again tonight, and this time in chapter 8. And I want you to turn also and find in your Bibles in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. I am going to read in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26 and through verse 35, and then we shall read Isaiah chapter 53, and then we'll come back into the book of Acts in chapter 8 and take up at verse 36 and read through verse 39. So you'll want to hold your finger, perhaps, if you do not have a Bible marker, in Isaiah 53, that we'll be turning to after we read Acts 8, 26 through 35. Before we read these passages of Scripture, I would like for you to pause just a moment with me in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is with thanksgiving and gratitude of heart and soul that we come before Thee, invoking Thy blessings upon the reading of the Scriptures. For we know that Thy Word is alive and is sharper than a sword that has two edges. And although what we say amounts to very little, what thus saith the Lord counts for time and for eternity. And so we pray that our hearts and minds would be closed to all other things, and by the Holy Spirit opened to the reading of the Scriptures. And again we ask, if there are those within our midst who are unsaved, that they might come to know Christ. For those who need to identify with the church, that they might come and do so in these moments. And may no one have come without some blessing to take home with them when this service is completed, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now then, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias," or Isaiah, "the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias," or Isaiah, "and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, or I beseech thee, I beg thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, for this is the portion of scripture that the eunuch read about Jesus. And in my mind's eye, I can see him now crossing the Gaza Strip south of Jerusalem toward the Mediterranean, where much activity in recent years has gone on in the conflict between Israel and the people of the Arabian nations that continues to intensify every moment and every second that ticks off the clock. So what we're reading about the place where this man was is a place of moment for 1969. I can see him having perhaps a 30-foot scroll in the chariot with him. And unfolding it, he read from what we know as Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to these words and follow along silently in your Bible. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now back into the book of Acts, chapter 8, at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, B-O-T-H, both, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I feel that we could just close our Bibles and leave the church and say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. For I have read to you two passages of Scripture that are linked up by the Holy Spirit that bring us to a confrontation with the truth about salvation and baptism. And my, what the Holy Spirit does to bring that about. For the Holy Spirit traces back over 700 years to the prophecy of Isaiah, who wrote the most graphic description of the crucifixion of Christ, the humiliation and suffering of the Son of God that we have on record anywhere within the framework of God's eternal word. The simplest story in all the world is the story of redeeming grace. It is the story of the sacrificial death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "I declare unto you that which I also received, how that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, and how that he was buried, and how that he was raised on the morning of the third day according to the scriptures, and how that he was seen of the apostles and of James his brother and of more than 500 brethren at once, and of me, Paul wrote, of me who am the least of all the apostles, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And I want it to go on record tonight that just as sure as you and I live, whatever we are is by the marvelous, matchless, unsearchable riches of God's eternal grace. Amen. For we must say with the poet, in my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Jesus, save me, for I cannot save myself. Jesus, wash me, for I cannot cleanse myself. Jesus, preserve me, for I cannot keep myself. There is but one way of salvation. It cannot be by works of righteousness which we have done, else Jesus Christ died in vain. It cannot be by joining the church, else Jesus died in vain. It cannot be by partaking of the Lord's Supper, else Jesus Christ died in vain. It cannot be by going through the sparkling waters of the baptismal pool, else Jesus Christ died in vain. It cannot be by learning the catechisms, else our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died in vain. It cannot be to bow down to the statue. It cannot be to hail Mary. It cannot be to revere the saints. It cannot be to kiss the toe of the Pope. It cannot be to confess our sins to man. It can be of none of these things, else Jesus Christ, God's darling Son, died a shameful death without profit and without demonstration. But I hasten to tell you tonight that there is salvation in no other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. In vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near the throne. It's all of grace and nothing that we can do. Salvation is of the Lord. And Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah said, we've turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, my message tonight is entitled Incident on Gaza Strip. You know, some of the most wonderful things that ever happened in what we would call out-of-the-way places. Let's get the picture. Remember that the early verses of chapter 8 in the book of Acts tell us that this man, Philip, was engaged in a revival meeting in Samaria. If you please, a citywide or perhaps countywide evangelistic effort. But riding alone across the burning sands of the desert was an Ethiopian who needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and God said to Philip, I want you to leave this countywide revival meeting in Samaria and move south, for there is a man who needs the Savior. I would pause here long enough to say that if you can come into this church week after week, if you can be exposed to the preaching of the gospel, if you can hear the Macedonian cry, if you can have the word of God read to your heart and soul, and leave this church week after week and not feel that God wants you to go somewhere to see somebody about their eternal salvation, then you have spent your time in vain. There is a man riding down south who needs the Savior. And out there from you, where you live and where you work and where you carry on your daily and weekly activities, there are men and women who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes and behold that the fields are white, all ready to harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest. You can answer that prayer as you become actively engaged in the soul-winning, witnessing, personal evangelistic ministry of this church. So Philip obeyed. Thus we have the unfolding of our beautiful story. Nothing like it in all the lids of the Bible. Now, Philip may have been the first hitchhiker, for he caught a ride with a chariot as it tore up the dust of the sands of the desert. And he went up and he heard a man reading the scriptures. Oh, what a joy to read the Word of God. The best therapy in all the world is reading the Word of God. Philip heard a man reading the scripture. And when the man was through, and we read it, he was somewhat puzzled about what was said. And you know, the unsaved man, the natural man, the unregenerate man, Paul says, cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the unsaved man can memorize the scripture, but the unsaved man can't understand the Word of God. To him, it's foolishness. And so we ask the question. Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? How can that unsaved neighbor, how can that unsaved member of your family, how can that unsaved man or woman with whom you work understand the scripture except someone like yourself guides them in the truth of God's infallible word? Now, Philip preached a great sermon, and the Ethiopian was saved. It was just that simple. But as they rode along, they came to a body of water. And the Ethiopian said to his driver, slow down, you're running too fast. Here is much water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now let me inject what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 at verse 8. But what saith it?
the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the same Lord is rich over all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou believest, thou mayest be baptized. Philip simply said, in our way of expressing it, do you believe with all your heart? And the Ethiopian gave his credo, his statement of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, this is precisely what Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, who asked, what must I do to be saved? Could it be that I'm speaking to some soul tonight who is asking deep within the recesses of your heart, preacher, tell me, what must I do to be saved? I'll simply give you Paul's answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved. Believe. And the work is done. You don't have to bow down to somebody. You don't have to confess to someone. You don't have to walk 10 miles. You don't have to pass an examination. You don't have to learn the catechisms. All you've got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, what did the Ethiopian believe? He believed Isaiah 53. He simply believed, and here is what he said in so many words. I believe that Jesus Christ was the tender plant that came up out of a dry ground. In other words, he said, I confess that I believe in the humanity of the Son of God, who was the branch of the Lord, the root that came out of David, out of the family of Jesse. He said further, I believe that Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He further said, I believe that Jesus Christ bore my sins in his own body. I believe that Jesus Christ bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. He said, Mr. Philip, I believe that Jesus was wounded for my sins. I believe, sir, that Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. I believe, sir, that Jesus had the chastisement of my peace laid upon him. I believe, sir, that by his stripes I am healed. I believe, Mr. Philip, that I have sinned and gone astray. I believe that God laid on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of my sins. I believe that Jesus suffered all the things the prophet said he would suffer for me, bearing my sins in his own body on the tree. I believe, sir, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for me and took my place in death on Calvary's tree. I believe, Mr. Philip, the Ethiopian said, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the morning of the third day. And I further believe that he is alive forever at the right hand of God, making intercession for me. And just for bonus, I believe that he's coming again unto them that look for him. Shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation? This is what I believe. Then when the question of belief was settled, then came the issue of baptism. After the belief, after the conversion, after the redemption, after the salvation of this never dying soul, what doth hinder me now to be baptized? Nothing. For you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can hear the chariot wheels stopping now in the desert. And out of that chariot comes the Ethiopian and Philip. And the Bible says that they both went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. That word baptized is from the Greek baptizo, which simply means to put down under. Just like we are going to do in a few moments, we are going to take those who have anchored their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we're going to put them down under the baptismal waters. I'm going down into the water, and the candidates are going down with me. And I'm not going to sprinkle something on their head. I'm going to put them down just like Jesus was baptized. For the word baptizo means to submerge, to put down beneath. And I can hardly wait until we trouble the baptismal waters to bury in the likeness of the Son of God those who have claimed faith in him. Now, what does that do? That simply means that baptism is an outward sign of an inward transaction. That simply means that it is an act of obedience. That simply means that it is an answer to a good conscience before God. That simply means that it identifies us with God. That simply means it identifies us with God's people. That simply means it identifies us with the church. That simply means it identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now, don't you suppose that if baptism had been a part of and essential to his salvation, that Philip would have said something about it? He didn't even think about it. And he was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He was interested in getting this man saved and then baptizing him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, those who believe that a person must be baptized for the washing away of the sins must surely believe that they would have to go into the pool every day and into the river every night. For we are all plagued with this thing called sin. And there is no remission of sin save in the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, his Lamb. So then what I'm talking to you about tonight, that is only a preface to the baptismal service to follow in a moment, is this, that from this story of Philip and the Ethiopian, one thing is clearly revealed. That salvation is by grace plus nothing. and minus nothing, and that baptism does not wash away sins, and that baptism is not essential to one's salvation, but that it is rather an act of obedience that answers a good conscience toward God, and that identifies the believer with God and with the church, the local body, the assembly, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and that it testifies to the world that I, as I am baptized, I confess that I have died to the old sin, that I am being buried to the old life, and that I am being raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. The incident at Gaza Strip, a man was saved and a man was baptized. And you know, if you are out there tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ and this is all news to you, and perhaps you don't know and haven't known until this moment what it means to be saved, let me say to you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's simple as ABC. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And C, confess with your mouth that you do believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Well, that's just about it. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee in these moments for the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, thy darling Son. We thank thee that we've had the privilege to preach him again tonight. And Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would grab someone's heart, twist someone's soul, trouble someone tonight, convict someone of sin, bring them to the Savior. And Heavenly Father, should there be those who need to identify with the church, may they come. And should there be those who need to surrender to be baptized, though they are not prepared tonight, but they can get prepared, help them to come and surrender and say, I'll go all the way. I'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ into the baptismal waters. Be identified with this called out assembly of believers. And Father, for this moment of soul searching for every Christian, should there be those who need to come and renew their vows and be strengthened in their faith, may they come as we wait in these moments. In Jesus' name we ask it and for his sake. Amen.